We have had a great summer months here, doing a lot of planning, making sure all of our staffing is in place, all of our principals are placed, and just working alongside my cabinet members to really get to know them better and really forge ahead. We had a great workshop on June 9th where we really had an integrated approach. We had all of our math coaches and our literacy coaches and our leadership teams from every building come together, and we really worked on integrating our curriculum and delivering an approach to our teaching and learning that will involve creating great environments for students to learn inside, and how to engage students for learning, really working on how we can do that at every level across our system, pre-K through 12th grade, really talking about the cultures of our school buildings and how we want families and students to feel as they enter the room. And then also a very important topic is assessment for learning, how we are really getting to know our students individually, and then also how we are really gauging what they're learning throughout the course of their coursework, and not just with that end of a unit assessment, but how we're doing it on an ongoing basis.
Speaking of assessment, did you have to go over with teachers Common Core requirements?
Those are the new Illinois learning standards. So as a public school system, we're prepared to address those needs in our classroom. We are anticipating more and more information from the State Board of Education about the new PARC assessment that will be the assessment that replaces the Illinois Standards Assessment Test, the ISAT, and the Prairie State assessment. So we're just looking for more information. We know that will be on the ground and something that we will do in March and also again in May. And so we're just looking for more information coming forth from State Board of Education.
Any challenges so far? You haven't been on the job for too long, but anything as of yet?
Challenges continue to just be making sure that we're looking at how we're budgeting and how we're spending our dollars to really maximize the needs of students across our system. That's going to be continue to be a challenge as we move into the school year and we learn a little bit more about what's going to happen with school funding. I think since last time we spoke, we did come up with a bill that with Governor Quinn that we are going to get our level funding or 89%. That did help us feel a little bit better because that's how we budgeted our budget for the following school year or the coming school year. But right now, we always are wanting to be as frugal as possible and have good spending plans in place and good budgeting plans in place so that we can be prepared because we don't know what's going to happen with the income tax and different things that are ahead.
So Mike Zimmers has become school board president, and the former president, Chuck Flamini, is now the vice president. Do you feel the district's public approval or perception has changed at all now that previous superintendent Walter Milton has officially been replaced? The school board after the election has been in place now for over a year. Do you feel what had been kind of sometimes tense relationship between the public and the school board is on the up and up, or any change at all?
I am very hopeful for our coming school year and my future in this district. I feel that we are all working really quite well together. And I do feel that there's a renewed sense of hope amongst the people that I'm working with directly. And I'm very excited to have this opportunity to lead a school district that I believe in so greatly. And I feel supported by the school board and by the teachers and the students.
Can you give us an update on some of the summer construction work that took place? Because the district spent roughly $10 million on renovations.
Right. Through our health, life safety funds and bonds, we have been able to do a few major renovations at Fairview Elementary School and at Isles Elementary School and also middle school at Isles, where we have been able to put our HVAC systems in, heating and cooling systems, so they do have air conditioning. Isles has even had a little bit more extensive work with electrical wiring and things of that nature, so we're excited to get back. I did a tour of that building today, and it's looking phenomenal. They have some last-minute things they're working and rushing on to get everybody in the building, and the teachers are over there working and are very excited to have the opportunity to have air conditioning. And I know Fairview feels the same way, and their project is complete other than just some few, you know, small little things, and they're already back in their classrooms and ready to go. And then we also did finish out the gymnasium and cafeteria end of Enos School, and I know they'll have a ribbon cutting coming up for their new school building. And we did did just do some other roofing projects and things like that across the district to maintain our buildings.
There are still a couple schools without air conditioning. Is that true?
They are, but we were able to make sure that those schools are now functioning with window unit air conditioning. So all of our schools will feel cool air as they enter in. We know that window units have to work overtime and aren't as effective as having a good new heating and cooling system, but we'll move forward towards that in the future.
Some changes are ahead for the public relations department, it seems.
Yes. In the past, our communications department had five members. One was our video TV producer for Channel 22. And then we had our webmaster, a volunteer coordinator, also somebody who was sort of a coordinating assistant in the PR department. And then we had a director of communications. We're just looking with all of our budget cuts that we had. We did lose our webmaster and our volunteer coordinator. We've been thinking out of the box about how we can still maintain our relationship with Channel 22 that Comcast allows us to use. We find that that is essential. People watch that on a regular basis. It's a way we are transparent with our board meetings and get them out. So we've brought him back on. He's agreed to work a few days less this coming school year to support our budgetary needs. But we are looking to help support that with some sponsorships. And so in upcoming board meetings, as we work out all the details, we will be communicating that, getting that information out to the media as well, so that businesses know that they, if they wish to support the public schools, we will have spots on there. Once again, they cannot be advertisements, but they can be sponsorships of the public schools. So that's one exciting thing, to make sure we have Greg back in action working for Channel 22. Also then, what we were looking at is, instead of having a director of communications and then an assistant, We just are flattening it out a little bit. We're going to have two coordinators within our PR department, and one, Nayla Mitchell, who's already on the ground running. We've moved her up into a position where she's going to be coordinating all of our school and family relations and community work. She's absolutely phenomenal, been out there on the ground, and we know that we have enough business within our schools each and every day to keep her very busy. And then we're also looking at hiring somebody in the coordinator of public relations and marketing, more of an end where we want to look at how we brand our system, how we get print materials and information onto the web. Having some web design knowledge is really going to help us there. And then also how we look at doing some of our strategic planning as we move forward with our district.
So during budget cuts that were being talked about last school year, and the webmaster being one of those, it seems like this position might be able to take on some of those duties, because there were people saying you can't just have a website without somebody taking care of the
internet. Well, we have a couple things. We have a full technology department as well. And so we will have programmers that are always on site if we need to build something new or have a new piece attached to that website, have some people that are knowledgeable about how we can build and create that so that it works well and fluidly. But the other part of that is having kind of an artistic mind and looking at how the web is designed and how people get where they need to go. We know that that's important as well.
I'm Rachel Atwell. You're listening to WUIS. I'm speaking with Superintendent for District 186, Jennifer Gill. Today marks the first day of school for Springfield Public Schools. How do you see the budget cuts that have been made affecting the coming school year?
We're going to, you know, feel the crunch, especially in our elementary school libraries, where we no longer have librarians and are trying to work and plan for volunteers to at least help us be able to check out books. But we know we'll have the loss of that library instruction. We know that other cuts that were made will touch the schools, but we feel like we've communicated those and are poised to be able to use the best of our resources to make those happen. And none of the cuts were easy choices to make, but we're dedicated to maintaining this level of fund balance so that we can move forward.
How do you feel the district did overall in crafting a budget for the coming fiscal year?
I think we did quite well. I mean, we knew that we had to create a fund balance so that we could be fiscally responsible. We were under notification, if you will, from the Illinois State Board of Education that we needed to do so, that we needed to move forward. So as we are working and looking to our future, we want to make sure that we protect what we can in order to have a fund balance to be able to have a better outlook with our Moody's rating, and all of those things affect us being able to go out and borrow in the future. So we just need to make sure we're very transparent with the cuts, very transparent with how we're managing our budget as we go forward.
Last year, there was an issue with students getting immunizations on time, and hundreds of students ended up having to miss some school as a result. How is that shaping up this year, and what timeline do students have to get the immunizations that are required?
We have had an amazing community outpouring of support with the School of Medicine and the Sangamon County Health Association and many other organizations that have come together to provide us some clinics that were they concluded last Saturday, but they're also poised and ready to help us as we move forward. We publicized that greatly and had a lot of students take us up on it. In fact, we had over 300 students either get a physical or get a series of shots that they need so that they're eligible to go to school. So we feel like it was a huge success. We do know some results that our two balanced calendar schools that have already gone past their 10th day of school, all of those students were in school on that 10th day ready to learn because none of them were being excluded for not having a physical or immunization that they may need. So that was great progress. Our school nurses will be on the ground getting information to parents of those students who do not have their required information. We'll go back to our community partners and see what we can do to meet their needs. But we're really hoping that because of those clinics, we have fewer students coming in that are not ready to go. The 10th day of school will be the day that students will be excluded if they do not have their immunization records.
We know that the district is under a desegregation order that dates back from the 70s, I think it is, and minority hiring is a priority. But the minority recruiter resigned earlier this summer. So where do things stand with that issue as a whole?
Certainly. At our last board meeting, we were able to name Frankie Baker Brown as our new assistant director of HR and also minority recruiter. Those two positions go together. She is currently the principal at the Springfield Learning Academy SLA program. And she is going to our program coordinator she serves as a program coordinator at that school. For right now, she's going to stay on the ground, help them get off to the right start. We've talked to another retired person in our community, Chuck Medley, who's going to come on and support her work over at our central office as they do some transition planning. We're very excited to have both of them helping us work forward in the role as assistant HR director and minority recruitment. So we're excited to have that in place. It continues to be a priority in our school district to make sure we have a representative staff working with students and working in our administrative ranks as well, and also meeting the letter of the law of the desegregation order.
What are the biggest issues on the district's plate this coming school year?
We want to make sure that we have an academic program that meets the needs of all students. That's going to be any school district any year. So we'll continue to look at our structures across our district to make sure we have programs in place that are meeting all of the students' needs. And if we do have any gaps, we'll come back to the table and really move forward. We always are worried about our financial future and how we're really working and understanding how the state is looking to fund education. Fund pension, all of those different things are always constantly weighing on our shoulders.
Speaking of funding issues, there was a lot of talk last school year about taking the issue to the voters, referendums, talking about either property tax increase or a countywide sales tax increase. Obviously, that wasn't voted on. Do you see that issue coming up again this school year?
Once again, we'll want to make sure that we understand what the state's doing with their funding and keep our eye on the ground with that. We want to make sure that we are operating fiscally responsibly and really being transparent in the community with what we're doing with our budgeting with inside the district. So if that's to be said, the board is really the people who will talk about that and vote for that eventually if it does come to the table again.
And what issues do you hope to focus on a broader scope throughout your career as the superintendent for District 186?
Well, I tell you what, one that's coming up and that we want to educate the public on a little bit more, we're waiting for our official school report card to come out from the Illinois State Board of Education. But we do know that our graduation rates are not necessarily where we would like them to be. But we also want to educate the public about how we come to those graduation rate numbers. They do a cohort system where they look at freshmen that enter into a specific school and district, and they follow them through their 4 years, and they have a four-year graduation rate cohort, and then they also have a five-year one where we look at those students who maybe had some specific situation going on and weren't able to create graduation requirements by the fourth year, but then they go ahead and graduate the fifth year. And all of those numbers are very confusing. It's a formula. So we really want to, when we get our next level of data, have open and honest conversations with all the media outlets and the community about what those graduation rates mean, why our students are leaving us, where they're going, what kind of supports might we be able to put in place within our system, but also with community support. So that's a goal of mine, is to really look and sit alongside the high schools and the work that they're doing to understand how we can keep our kids in school, keep them moving forward towards graduation, but also educate the public that the number 67% at one school might mean that there was another large group that graduate then the next year with their fifth grade cohort. So we want to make sure we're educating the public about those numbers and moving forward. And it's a passion of mine as well to really look at how we're serving our special needs population, making sure that we're doing that to the best of our ability.